Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Tweet at DriveTimeRTE.
A founding member of the DUP believes the voice of Northern Protestants would be stronger in a united Ireland than it is currently within the United Kingdom. An event taking place in Belfast tomorrow, exploring Ireland's future, will see a host of political voices discuss the issues, and one speaker at the event joins me now, founding member of the DUP, a former special advisor to Nigel Dodds, and a leading evangelical Protestant, Wallace Thompson. You're very welcome indeed to the programme.
Thank you, Cormac.
It's really good to have you on, and thanks for joining us, Wallace. The voice of Northern Protestants would be stronger in a united Ireland than it is currently in the UK, you say. Not only that, you say that a united Ireland is inevitable. Is that right?
Yeah, well, I've used the word inevitable, and to some extent, it's been a hostage to fortune for me, Cormac. But I think in the longer term, it is going to happen. I think we're talking decades down the road. I've made these comments on a number of occasions in the last two or three years, especially since Brexit and the fallout from the protocol and all that has flowed from that with the Irish Sea border. I just felt that unionism at that point had been betrayed once again in a very bitter and uncaring manner by Boris Johnson, who acted in a very roguish way towards us. And it came on, I mean, that wasn't the only betrayal. I mean, I've been around for over 70 years, and I remember many occasions where we felt betrayed by Britain. But I suppose over the years, our numbers seemed strong enough for us to be able to stand our ground. I suppose what I'm thinking in the more recent times is that the outcome of Brexit and the changing demographics do point up the inevitability, I use that word again, but I want to use it, the inevitability of change.
Yeah.
And how it comes and when it comes, that's where we need to have the debate.
It's very interesting, Wallace, what you're saying, because in a way, maybe Brexit laid bare for unionism how... And I pardon me for my language. It's going to be cumbersome, but hopefully you'll know what I mean. But maybe Brexit laid bare how sometimes ignored unionism is by the mainstream establishment parties in Westminster or the UK. Is that why you think you would be better heard and represented in a united Ireland?
Well, this is the question that I'm asking of myself and of my fellow unionists. I mean, I suppose, you know, I think that as things stand at the moment, we are very much marginalised. I've used the description of being the unwanted children in the house, you know, the house being the United Kingdom, and we're there, we're a bit of an embarrassment, and but they won't throw us out the door. They would prefer if we just leave quietly. And I think that Brexit also laid bare the sort of growth of English nationalism that led us into a false sense of security that we would be getting a fair deal for the UK, but we were turfed overboard into the Irish Sea by English nationalists who ultimately have no concern for anything other than their own agenda. So as unionists, we have to ask ourselves, you know, we have to have some integrity and some pride in ourselves and some self-respect. And you wonder how many times you can be pushed around in the house before you begin to wonder, would it be better to leave?
Well, would you not agree that for an awful lot of unionists, being pushed around and being denigrated and subjugated in the House of Commons or Westminster or within the union is a far better prospect than being elevated somewhat in a united Ireland?
Well, this is how unionists will feel, and I know that. And I know that quite a lot of my fellow unionists think that maybe I've kind of lost the plot in my old age. But I still feel that, you know, I certainly feel British. My most biggest motivating element in my life is my Protestant faith, and it overrides my unionism. The two have gone hand in hand, but that's changing as well. And as I look at the changing circumstances in the Irish Republic, I just wonder, would we find a warmer welcome? And that's the challenge for those listening tonight.
It's really interesting because it was never binary, was it really, this question of identity? It was always nuanced. I mean, one example is I have a friend who's a unionist and speaks Irish. And that was never part of the unionist identity going back years and years ago. But let me ask you this, Wallace. If there were to be a united Ireland, what changes would have to happen that you as a unionist would like to see, for example?
Well, I think we'd have to start with a blank canvas, Cormac, really, to make it work. We'd have to look at all of the emblems, all of the institutions, the structures. I mean, there's been a number of books written in this and a number of discussions have taken place already on, you know, do you have a federal Ireland? And these ideas, too, go back quite a bit in unionism as well to the 70s when things were unstable. People spoke of an independent Ulster or a federal Ireland as well was mentioned. So those factors could be looked at and examined. But I do think it would need to be a fresh start and there would have to be a recognition that all traditions in Ireland, and there are many different traditions, would be respected and honoured. The difficulty for unionism is they feel they would be fearful of their Protestant identity, their Orange tradition being subsumed or persecuted or whatever. And I hear that quite a bit. That's a fear. But to me, for any new Ireland to work, it would have to embrace all these various elements. Mm-hmm. And to do so requires reaching out all round. And I've said this as well, there's a need to reach out. Unionists must reach out to nationalists and nationalists must reach out to unionists and see if we can move forward together.
Mm. Let me put this to you then. For an awful lot of people in the Republic of Ireland listening to you and a great many people in Northern Ireland, reimagining everything, right, would be anathema to what they envisage in terms of reuniting Ireland. Isn't that correct?
That is right.
A lot of people would see it as reuniting the country and not reimagining the country to accommodate unionism.
Oh, I know, and I've heard this, and I've talked to folk from nationalist traditions who would say, look, you know, the tail can't wag the dog here. Mm. There are things that we don't want to change, and that'll have to all be looked at, you know. Unionism needs to sit down and realise it's not in a very happy place, and for the sake of all of us, let's look at what may or may not happen. And by looking at it, it's not a sign of weakness, it's a sign of maturity and a sign of a desire to work together to a better future for our grandchildren. Yes, you're right. I mean, it'll not be easy for me to convince people that we need to start all over again. I know that. But I think that we haven't had these conversations. We've talked at each other and talked down to each other. And we've come through the era of the Troubles, which have left a dreadful scar. But from my point of view, I just feel that unless we grasp these issues with both hands and talk, and investigate, and that requires Northern Irish people, both Protestant and Catholic, to seek to come together in reconciliation as well. I would see that as a very important precursor to any form of New Ireland, that there's a reconciliation here first and then a discussion between here and down in Dublin as well.
Yeah. Well, apart from anything else, it's a fascinating conversation, isn't it, when you engage like this? Ireland's future in the upcoming Pathway to Change Forum happens this weekend. You'll be taking part, Wallace. The very best of luck to you on that. Hopefully we'll talk again on this programme as well. We might sort out a new Ireland or a new departure of some sort on this programme. You never know. You never know at this point.
We'll keep talking.
Wallace Thompson, thank you very much indeed for joining us.